As we continue to hear the story of Jesus, this second half of the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, we are faced with an intercalation. Now, lest you think I'm trying to impress you with big words, I had to be reminded of that as well. I like to think of a more simple term. It's a sandwich. We have a story that begins, Jairus, the synagogue leader, comes to Jesus. That's the first piece of bread. Then the story moves on to a whole other topic, which is the woman who has been hemorrhaging for 12 years, touches his cloak, she's healed. That story concludes. That's the corned beef, Swiss, sauerkraut and Thousand Island dressing. And then our text concludes with Jesus going on to the house of Jairus and raising his daughter from the dead. That's the second slice of bread. So we have a sandwich. Mark likes this literary device, taking one story and inserting it in the midst of another story. Why does he not just tell these stories one after the other? The idea is they're supposed to play off of one another, that the meaning might go a little deeper than the story standing on its own. So what story is trying to be told, or is Mark trying to tell us with these two stories intercalated? Well, I think reading this story, we get the sense that suffering is indiscriminate. That is to say that suffering visits upon all people, whether you're the leader of a synagogue, whether you're the leader's daughter, or an unnamed woman. Suffering visits upon those who pray and those who don't, those of a deep faith and those who have none. Suffering in this world is indiscriminate. It makes no bones about visiting any of us. And so we have this story, and I think what Mark is trying to do is to identify who Jesus is. We remember that the story before this one in Mark was the exorcising of the many demons. The story before that in the fourth chapter of Mark was Jesus stilling the storm as they're back and forth on the boat. Storm raises up, threatens those in the boat, so Jesus calms it. And the disciples ask, "Who is this that even the winds obey him?" So we move on, or Mark moves on, to tell and answer that question. This is who Jesus is. Jesus is the one that has power over demonic forces. Jesus is the one that has power over blood flow, hemorrhaging, and ultimately death itself. Who is this? This is Jesus. The one who has the power to save. Interesting, in the middle story, the story of the woman who has been hemorrhaging for 12 years, and the thought she has, if I only touch his cloak, I will be made well. Jesus feels power leave him. That's his indication that someone sought healing. Of course, he says, "Who touched me?" And I love the disciples' response. "What do you mean? We're in a crowd. We're being jostled together. Lots of people are touching you." But he means specifically the woman who came to him and sought help. And the word there for power in the Greek is the word dunamo, which is where we get the word dynamite. This isn't just a little bit of power. This is the power of God in the person of Jesus that saves. So Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." actually, again, a little more Greek. In the Greek, there's this word sozo. And it means both physical healing, but it also means salvation. So Jesus could as well be saying, your faith has saved you. We know he says that in other places in Scripture. It's up to the translator to decide if it's going to be healing or salvation. I would argue it's always really about salvation. I don't think it can be about healing. I think the healings in our biblical text are there to illustrate, to point us to God's power in Jesus to offer salvation. I mean, if the healing were the point, the main point, right? As Jesus is walking through the crowd and everybody seems to be touching because of the jostling and the tumult, well, then everybody who touched him would be healed. So the point is, Jesus is the one who has the power to offer salvation. It's difficult, I think, these stories. Because we hear of those who pray, and even the Psalms, right? The Lord heard my cry, and freed me, rescued me, healed me, vanquished my enemies. And this is me, perhaps it's your experience as well, but not all my prayers get answered. Even when I pray for a good and faithful person to be healed, God doesn't seem to answer that prayer. Instead, I think the story is about salvation. About that gift of eternal life, the intimate relationship with the one who created us and cares for us. Healing is great when it happens. My experience tells me it doesn't always happen. You know, in the story of the little girl, well, we hear she's really not so little. She's 12, which just on the precipice of puberty. In that day and age, was real close to marrying age. But then as we watch perhaps the game today, and we see in the end zone that's marked Baltimore, you'll see the MO painted a different color, right? In honor of superfan Mo Gabba. Poor guy was diagnosed 4 times with different cancers. Succumbed to the last one right about the age of this little girl. If prayer and healing were the ultimate point, why then do we honor his memory and not celebrate with him in life? Perhaps this paints a little bit of a dour picture until we remember perhaps again the original point. The point that Jesus is the one with the power to save. And that salvation is offered to all. Just as I said in the beginning, suffering is indiscriminate. Suffering will visit upon anyone and everyone. We hear too the works of Jesus in the Gospels. And we are reminded that God's power of salvation is also indiscriminate. God's salvation is offered to everyone. And we receive it through the gift of faith. So we hear these stories. Who is this Jesus? Well, he's the one that can exorcise demons, the one who can quell storms, the one who can heal hemorrhaging, can raise from the dead, the one who has the power to save. Amen.